Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 27. And in verse 41, the Word of God says, "Likewise also the chief priests mocking him," this is Jesus on the cross, "likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and the elders said, 'He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if we will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Come down now from the cross, and we will believe.'" Who do you think said that? Oh yes, the people were the chief elders and the scribes and the Pharisees, but who do you think said that? "Come down now from the cross and we will believe." What do you think would happen if he came down from the cross? Would they have actually believed? He was risen from the dead. They didn't believe him then, did they? No, when he was risen from the dead, they said, okay, we'll have to come up with a new explanation. They paid off people to say, tell them that the body was stolen. "Come down now from the cross, and we will believe." What would have happened to me if he had come down from the cross? I would have no life. If he had come down from the cross, there would be no life. But you know, the enemy does the same thing to us. The enemy says, "Come down now from the cross, and then you will have that which you have desired." They knew that Jesus wanted people to believe on him because he was the Savior. They didn't accept him as the Savior, but he was the Savior. And so they knew that his desire, because he did come to seek and save that which was lost, was to have people believe on him as the Savior. What is it that you desire? What is it that you are willing to trade the cross for? Come down now from the cross. The enemy will make you that offer. Come down now from the cross, and you can have the thing that you desired. He is a liar and the father of all lies. He won't actually give you the thing that you desired. Only if giving you the thing that was desired will pull you off the cross. But he will tell you, come down now from the cross and you can have what you have desired. But in John 10:10, the Word of God says, "The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy." How many times has it happened to us? I know it's happened in my life, and I imagine it's happened in most of yours also, because we are all human beings and we are believers. But how many times has it happened to us that the enemy tempts us, "Come down now from the cross"? And I can even recognize that it's the enemy who's tempting me. I can even recognize the source of that temptation, but there is this desire, and the question is, will you actually accept the offer? If you do, then you have to realize something. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. He does not come to give you anything. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And this is why he says, "Come down now from the cross." Why? Because the cross is where I find my life. The cross is where I find my provisions. The cross is where I find my call. The cross is where I enter into the promises. The cross is where I get to know the character of God. The cross is where the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. So he says, "Come down now from the cross, and I'll give you something." But he isn't going to give me anything. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. He's not giving me anything. I have come, Jesus said, and continuing in John 10:10, I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I have come that they may have life. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came that I may have life and that I may have it more abundantly. That tells me something. That tells me that I can be made alive or I can be made dead. And it all depends on how I answer, come down now from the cross. Because the offer will be made. If it hasn't been made to you yet, it will be. He will always offer us, come down now from the cross. The thief is the word kleptes. And it's one who steals by fraud or in secret. The thief never steals in front of your eyes. The thief dangles a carrot in front of your eyes. I took my dog to the vet the other day. She needed a shot, update shots. And so I took my dog to the vet, and the dog said, yeah, I have a talking dog. I went to Dr. Doolittle. And the vet said, take some treats out of the jar, if you would, and hold them in front of her face, and she won't know that I'm sticking a needle into her. And so I did. I held some treats in front of her face, and I gave her a little bit of a nibble. That's all she got. She didn't actually get a bunch of a dinner out of it. She just got a nibble. And she was stuck from behind. Isn't that like what happens to us? The thief holds a treat in front of our eyes, but he sticks us from behind, and he robs us blind. But we got our eyes on that little treat. Ooh, the treat. And you're robbed, silly. You're robbed into foolishness sometimes. Haven't we all been there in one way or another? We can be robbed into foolishness. The thief says, come down now, and I'll give you a treat. He does it in secret and by stealth. The thief does not come except the thief has no other design in coming. That's what it's saying there. There is no other purpose, there is no other design, there is no other thing to be achieved in this. There is no other gain in this. This is it. This is all there is. He comes and he does not come with the exception of this one purpose. To steal. Klephi. It's the aorist active and subjunctive. In other words, if he comes, he will continuously produce the action of doing this. If you allow him to come, he will continuously produce the action of doing this. How many people have started to engage or perhaps entertain something that they know is not right from God, that they know it is wrong? How many people start to engage this? Young people frequently go to a party and they had perhaps convictions, and then somebody says, here, have a beer. And okay, my friends, and pressure, and okay, I'll have the beer. And the one time was very difficult, but the second time is much easier. And the third time is still easier, and the fourth time they're stone drunk. And the fifth time it's a little bit of drugs. And the sixth time it's a destroyed life. You see, that's the thing. Bite once, and the second time it'll stay in your mouth. Do you understand? A little bit of a treat and the shot comes right in behind. And I didn't even know it. My dog didn't know she got shots. And as a matter of fact, the same thing worked where she could see it eventually. Because he had to do some blood work on her. Make sure she didn't have like heartworms or something. You know the test they do. And he did it right in her front paw. And he said, hold the treat. And she won't even see it in her front paw. She didn't see it in the backside. She ain't going to see it in the front either. Why? There's a treat dangling in front of her eyes. Come down now and I'll give you a treat. And I can hit you from any direction that I want you. Because your gaze has been averted by something you thought you desired. He comes to steal by means of that is clandestine and by stealthy means. And he continues to do it if I allow him to seduce me with a treat. And to kill, thous, aorist, active, subjunctive. If I allow him to do it, he will continuously produce the action of doing this. And you know what it says there? It's to kill and offer in sacrifice. That's what that word means. It's the word thous. To kill and offer in sacrifice. It's a form of worship. He takes my life as I start to worship Him. And I didn't even know I was worshiping Him. I remember when I was working in the emergency room, we had a guy come in. He was a drug addict. He was stone cold, out like a light. He was in a first degree coma. He had a heart infection from what he was doing. But in the middle of being out like a light, he started praying to Satan. He didn't know he was a Satan worshiper. And it's not just because it's drugs, although certainly drugs will do that. It's anything that I will go after because of the thief. When I start to respond to the thief, I'm worshiping him. When I respond to God, I'm worshiping him. And this guy was praying to Satan, and all he thought was he was doing drugs. No, the thief came. And he took his life as a sacrifice to himself. How many believers even sacrifice their lives to the enemy? In a religious form of sacrifice, as they go according to his desire for their lives, dangling a treat in front of their eyes. Don't worry, this is going to be a positive message in the end. And to destroy, aorist, active, subjunctive again. In other words, if you allow him to come, he will continuously produce this action to wholly destroy. To destroy in entirety. He doesn't take a little. You think you're giving a little, but he doesn't take a little. He takes the whole nine yards, but you wanted just to give a little because you thought you'd get a treat, but you didn't. You didn't. Do you know where the jar of treats went? It stayed in the doctor's office. Didn't take it home with us. It stayed in the doctor's office. I have come that they may have life, and Zoe life, which is God's brand of life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Perison, over and above, more than enough, superabundant, particularly as exceeding a certain measure. What is it that you thought you'd get? God will give you so much more. I'll give you so much more. Matthew 26:25. For whosoever desires to save his life, life there is suki, his soulish life, his emotions. Well, this is where people usually go with this. They follow after that which will be emotionally pleasing to them. And they end up an emotional wreck. whoever saves his life, suki, soulish life, will lose. Apolise, future active indicative. In other words, this is going to be the result of it. It will happen. Your decision was going to produce this result. And it's a dogmatic reality. It means to destroy. Whoever tries to save their life in their soul, in other words, their soulish man, according to the old sin nature, whoever tries to save that portion of their life will destroy their life. But whoever loses it, apolisto, destroys it. Whoever destroys that soulish part for my sake will find it. Again, whoever loses their life, their soulish life, will find real life. How does that work? In Genesis 2:21 and in John 19:34, we have a parallel. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh of its place. And then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into woman, and he brought her to the man. And then in John 19:34, what happened in Genesis? God put Adam to sleep. He opened up his side and he made a woman. In John 19:34, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. What happened there? Jesus was, so to speak, put to sleep. His side was opened up and the bride came to life. And what happened to that? After death, but only after death, came water and blood. And what this is a picture of how we become the practical, experiential bride of the Savior. Like, it's one thing to be that in our position, and every born-again believer is that in their position. But it's another thing to have the life of the experience. After death, after I die, after I've picked up a cross, after I've reckoned myself dead indeed unto self, only then am I made alive unto Christ. After death, the water and the blood become efficacious. Do you understand that? After the cross is in my life, then the word has its full effect. After the cross is in my life, then the blood has its full effect. Then I understand what it means that I'm cleansed and that I'm a new creation. Only after the cross will I ever even begin to understand what that means in an experience. Only after the cross will I really understand what it means that I've been completely cleansed. Only after the cross will I begin to understand what it means that I have a life that is abundant. It is only after the cross. The cross is what makes me alive. You know how we're made alive? We're not made alive by trying to save the things that we think will fulfill our emotions. We're made alive by the death, by cross. The cross makes me alive. The cross makes me alive. And then all the things that are of life become an experience in my human life. This is not something we wait to get to heaven for. This is something we have here and now. If anyone serve me, in John 12:26, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serve him, my Father will honor him. Whosoever, in Mark 8:34, whosoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That means that if I want to be a disciple, I get the cross. But if I am the cross, then I am where Christ is. When I have the cross in my life, that's when I experience to be what it means to be seated in heavenly places, with the throne as my place. Seated at the right hand of God, and the earth underneath my feet. The person who has no cross, that person is on a horizontal plateau. That person, the earth is everything to them. The earth is above their head, it's not under their feet. But the person who lives in the life of the cross, that person has the earth under his feet and he's seated above in heavenly places. That person is the one who is victorious. That person is the one who's more than a conqueror. That person is the one who's an overcomer. The cross makes me alive. I am made alive by the cross. Now get this. In 1 Corinthians 15:22, in Adam, in the Adamic nature, in the old nature, all die. Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. When I refuse the cross, when I insist on what I want, when I want it, my way, my desires, my emotions, my preferences, when I insist on that, I'm living in my own death. I'm rejecting life and I'm choosing death. But when I live in Christ through the cross with His life flowing in me, then I am made alive with the life of God. And that's where I experience, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. That's where I experience, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. That's where I experience, He will go above and beyond all that I can ask or think. It's when I have the cross alive in my life, not self-life, God's life, not self-life. What is self-life? Self-life dies. God's life is eternal. No beginning, no end, no impurities, no corruption, no lust, no temptation. God's life is eternal. And that's the life that I have, that I've been made alive with the cross. In Luke, after Jesus had been crucified, on the third day, they came to find Him. They wanted His body so they could anoint it and properly treat it according to the customs of the Jews. In chapter 24 and verse 5, the Word of God says, "Then as they were afraid, they bowed their faces to the earth. They said unto them," and they saw angels, and they were afraid of these angels. They said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek the living among the dead?" Isn't that what so many of us do sometimes from time to time? We seek the living among the dead. Isn't that what we do? We go after something and we think somehow this will fulfill us and make us more alive, and in fact we are in death. Isn't that what people do? "I want more money, better job, I want this relationship, I want this girl, this guy," and we seek the living among the dead. And they ask, because our angels are looking at us. And they're looking at us like, why are they looking for the living among the dead? Why do they think that the ways of this world, or the ways of the flesh, or the ways of lust, or Satan's ways, why do they think that will give them life when it gives death? Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, He's risen. You won't find your life in these things. You'll find it at the cross where you are risen with the Savior. That's where you will find your life. That's where you will find your pleasure. That's where you will find your fulfillment. Get this. That's where you will find emotional satisfaction that so many people seek for. You'll find it through the cross, not among the dead. You'll find it when you are risen with Him. You'll find it when by faith you take up a cross, and by faith you have died, and by faith you have risen again. You'll find it when you realize in Galatians 2:20, you've been crucified with Christ, but no longer you that lives. It's no longer you that lives. You live, but it's not you. You've been crucified with Christ. The life that you now live by faith of the Son of God. It's God's life in you. Do you get it? Do you look up here for a second? Do you get this? You can have God's life in you. You can have God's life in you. You're supposed to have it. He came, He died to give it to you. Look up here. Don't wander. God so desires to produce His life in you. But you'll never find it in death. You'll only find it on the other side of the cross. If you want to stay in death, then enjoy your misery. Because that's all in the end that you're going to end up with. But if you want to be made alive with a life that is super abundant, then go through the cross and you'll find His life, His fulfillment, His pleasures, His satisfaction. But you can only find it on the other side of the cross. You won't find it anywhere else. You cannot look for the living among the dead. And on the other side of the cross, you are made alive. On this side, the earthly side of the cross, it's nothing but death. Therefore, we were buried with Him, Romans 6:4. That just as Christ was raised from the dead, and I'm skipping portions of the verse, even so, we should walk in the newness of life. We walk in the newness of life. The things our flesh holds on to, does it produce the newness of life or does it produce torment? How many young people look for a relationship that isn't of God and it torments them? But they lust for it anyway. How many older people look for some form of satisfaction, perhaps in position or perhaps in wealth, and it torments them? These millionaires or billionaires, they have all this money and they're depressed. And so they try to get more and they're still depressed. And they try to get more and they're even more depressed because what they're doing isn't working. They're doing the wrong thing. It's on the other side of the cross that I find life. Don't look for the living among the dead. Young people, don't go for the wrong relationships. Let God bring you your relationships. Do not ever go after wrong relationships. Those are death. You're looking for something among the dead. Let God bring you the right relationships. And you'll get something that is alive, that imparts life and imparts joy. Don't make friends among the dead. Make friends among the living. Because that's where you'll find life. Likewise, in Romans 6:11, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Why? Because then you are alive unto Christ. Ephesians 2:1, He made you alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Don't you get it? You're shooting for the natural things and you're actually staying in your death, in your trespasses and sins. You're staying, you're holding on to your own death. You're holding on to your own misery. You're holding on to your own lack of satisfaction. You're holding on to your own depression. You're holding on to your own emptiness. Let that go. If you want to be where the Savior is, there's only one way to get there. Take up your cross and follow Me. That's the only way I'm going to find Him. That's the only way I'm going to be made alive. hey, the Savior is resurrected, seated in the heavenlies. The Savior is not death, and the cross is not your death. The cross is your life. Your death is what comes before the cross. Your death is what you already have if you don't have the cross in your life. You're made alive. You're made alive. Don't you get it? You're made alive when you deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. That's where you are made alive. Repeat after me. I'm made alive at the cross. Again, everybody. I'm made alive at the cross. Go ahead. One more time. I'm made alive at the cross. Don't you get it? Oh, but I want. Oh, but you don't know what you're talking about. You really don't. You think you do. But you're crashing your plane into the ground. You really don't. Don't you know that the wages of sin is death? And whatsoever is not of faith is sin? You're made alive at the cross. And that's the only place you'll find your life. And it's an abundant life. That's the thing, it's an abundant life. People think God is stingy, that they can do better than God can do. Are you crazy? You who are nothing but dust versus God who spoke the entirety of the universe into being, and you think you can do better than God can do for yourself? Are you absolutely out of your mind? You don't know what you're talking about if that's what you think. It's utter spiritual illiteracy. Pastor Stevens once said, if you think the cross is a burden, you're spiritually illiterate. The cross is your life, folks. The cross is, you're made alive at the cross. You want to have joy. You want to have peace. You want to have fulfillment. You want to have the things you say you desire in truth. You're not going to find it in the small beggarly element. You're going to find it at the cross. You're going to find it when you've been made alive with Christ, risen with Him, with His life flowing in you. And that's the only place you're going to find it. We are, in 1 Peter 3:18, we are put to death in the flesh. So if I am in the flesh, I'm being put to death, but made alive by the Spirit. If I'm in the Spirit through the cross, I'm made alive. You want to have life that's an abundant life, a meaningful life, a fulfilling life? Don't pursue your emotions. Those are your death. Those are that soulish life that will destroy you. Destroy that soulish life, and you will find life. At the cross, you'll be utterly made alive. Trouble is, though, that's the only place you'll be made alive. Isn't this how so many people try to do it? They try to go one place, another person, one thing, another thing. And they're never made alive. It's like trying to find a hamburger at the gas station. And you can't figure out why sucking on gasoline is not the same as eating a hamburger. Hey, gasoline's supposed to give energy, isn't it? No, it'll kill you. People do that with things like love. That's supposed to give me life, love, isn't it? No, it'll kill you. It's not going to give you love. It'll give you torment. God gives you love when He makes you alive. The fruit of the cross is love. Because the cross is the life of the Spirit in you. That's where you'll be made alive.
Amen.